Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. Hello, hello, hello. And I want to welcome all of our UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. So if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are an ambassador for Christ. And your citizenship is really in heaven. But you are here on this earth until heaven and earth becomes one. Amen. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which, by the way, is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. So if you're in California, come and pay us a visit. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. That's 1:30 in the afternoon every Sunday. Okay, once again, the address is 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. and our services start at 1:30 in the afternoon, okay? Okay, so now text or inbox all of your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can just look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and just click on the link where you see the post of today's particular broadcast. And then you can just listen from your computer. You can click on the link today and all this week on Facebook. Whenever you come across this particular link or this particular post for this particular show, anytime this week, just click on it and the entire program will play for you, okay? Don't forget that we have a book called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery, a book that I encourage all of you to go ahead, go out there and get this book. It's already available on Amazon. It's Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. Okay, just go ahead and order that book. And when you get the book, go to a nice quiet place where there's no distractions and pray before you read it and then start reading it and watch the Lord open up many things in the scriptures for you. Okay, just watch it happen. Don't forget to visit our webpage, churchofjesuschristministry.com. When you go to our webpage, you could actually go to books when you get there and click on it, and it'll take you right to Amazon, and you can go ahead and order the book from there. Also, you can see the message of life when you go to media. While you're on the webpage, just click on over to media. And it will take you to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain on hsbn.tv. Or you can just go directly to hsbn.tv and put in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. And you'll be able to watch all of our programs. You'll see us on television. You'll be able to see all of our programs. And you can click on any one that you want to watch, okay, whatever message might appeal to you. You can also catch us on YouTube. Once again, just put in, when you get to YouTube, just put in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. And a lot of times you can just put my name, T. Meyer McCain, and it'll pop up. The Message of Life will pop up even when you do that. So we're all over the place on many other apps, and you can check us out anytime this week, okay? So join us. As a matter of fact, tomorrow we will be going live on Facebook around between 2 and 2:30. We'll be going live on Facebook, so you don't want to miss that, okay? All right. Listen, don't go away. We will be right back after this. Stay right there. Praise the Lord.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus. Move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus. Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in with you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Is even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible is your reality. God, even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief, God. Jesus, I believe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe? You are listening to UCA Radio, United Christian Ambassadors, where you will find music and a message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's get into our message for today. Our message today is the difference between Israel and Christianity. Interesting, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, open the hearts and minds of everyone, Lord, on this line and everyone listening from their computers, on the phone. Open up their hearts and minds that they may receive what you are trying to tell us, O Lord, so that we may know who we are in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Open the hearts and the minds of your people, of God's people. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. How did Israel get started? That's a good question. And many of you know how Israel got started. We'll cover both, how Israel got started, how Christianity got started. But Israel got started, the nation of Israel got started when Jacob wrestled with God. Remember that? It was at that time that God touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and crippled him. He had to cripple him so that he could humble him, in other words. And then God blessed him and called his name Israel. And that's a lot to that story. That's actually a whole sermon by itself. We won't go into the whole sermon, but Genesis 32:28. And God said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." From that point on, Jacob's descendants were called the children of Israel. God actually placed a blessing on that name, on the name of Israel. A blessing is on that name. What does the name Israel mean anyway? What does it mean? Well, there's several definitions that I've come across throughout the years to the name of Israel or what it actually means. Like, for example, one who prevails with God, that's one, or let God prevail. Another one is a man seeing God. And another one says Israel means wrestled with God. And in another place, it means God's fighter. And then another one, it says one who rules with God. So there's several definitions. If Israel and Christians worship, this is a good question. Here's the question. If Israel and Christians worship the same God, then what's the problem between the two? Well, the difference is their belief. Here's what Jews and Christians believe. Are you ready? Hold on. Jews believe that God exists. Well, Christians believe that God exists. Jews believe that there's only one God. Christians believe that there's only one true living God. Also, Jews believe that there are no other gods other than God. Christians also believe that there's no other gods other than the great God. So far, we're doing pretty good. All right, the next one. Jews believe that God can't be subdivided into different persons. Jews should worship only the one God. Now, this is where the little difference in the when it comes to Christianity, because it would take the revelation of Jesus Christ for them to understand this. But the truth about Christianity is that God is one God. However, many in Christianity do believe that God works unilaterally as persons, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the persons. God works in different ways or in different offices and forms. He shows himself as wind. He shows himself as his glory cloud at times, fire, a man. God showed himself as Jesus Christ for the redemption of mankind. So we're not worshiping three different gods. You see, I believe that God is the Father, and God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. He is one God, just working in different ways for the redemption of mankind. And this is something that Jews don't quite understand. Jews believe that God is transcendent, meaning God is superior or is far beyond the usual. Well, Christians also believe that God is transcendent. We believe that he is extraordinary. We know and believe that God is limitless and all-knowing, all wisdom, all understanding, and has all power and might. Christians believe that God is far beyond any human or human experiences. And he is. Jews believe that God doesn't have a body. Well, Christians believe that God has a body. He had a body since the beginning. Even scriptures confirm this when it was written in Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 8. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God was walking. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And also, when God put his hand over the eyes of Moses, remember, and passed by, and Moses actually saw the back parts of God's body. We believe that Jesus Christ is the body of God today, now, in this hour, even since the meridian of time when God became a man, when he entered and was born into the world and became a man. And that is confirmed by scripture also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And what Paul told Timothy was even a more powerful witness in Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And that's the problem. God, the mystery of godliness, and it is a mystery. It's a mystery to both Christians and Jews, the full mystery of godliness. And he goes on to explain, God was manifest in the flesh. He said it. God was meant, the same God that the Jews worship and that Christians worship, was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jews believe that God created the universe without help. Christians also believe that God created the universe without help, but he did it by his spoken word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. I'm sorry, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God. All things was created by him. And without him was nothing created that was created. God created the universe and all things that exist. You see, there are many questions that many Christians have concerning Jews. Like, for example, what Bible does the Jews read? You know, you'd be surprised. Many Christians don't know. They read the Hebrew Bible, which is called Torah, meaning teachings and instructions. The Torah contains the laws of God as Moses received it, and it consists of the first five books of the Tanakh. The Torah is also called Tanakh because it is the main sacred text of the Jews and is made up of 24 books. It consists of three parts: the Torah, which is the law, Nephilim, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, the writings, also called the Pentateuch, or the first five books of Moses. The Tanakh is an acronym derived from the names of the three divisions, the ones I just named, of the Hebrew Bible or the Torah. Also, the Talmud, you've heard of that as well, meaning study or learning. This is a record of the rabbinic debates. Many rabbis had debates in the 2nd and 5th century on the teachings of the Torah, both trying to understand how they apply and seek, and seeking, they want to know how they, they're seeking to apply answers to the situations that they themselves were encountering. So they sought directions from the Talmud and behind the different debates that many rabbis had, and it was recorded. The Jewish and Christian Bibles do not contain the same books, and they are not arranged in the same order. You know, there are some books that's in the Hebrew Bible that you might not find in the regular Christian King James. There is a different canon. You know, canon means a general law, rule, principle by which something is judged. Canon is a collection or list of sacred books accepted as genuine. It is even a different listing of the biblical books in the collections that Jews call the Tanakh and Christians call the Old Testament. There's a different list of how they're listed. They're not all listed the same. Let's continue. How did Christianity get started? Well, some say on the day of Pentecost, but personally, I believe it started when Jesus chose his 12 apostles. People tend to forget that the first Christians were actually Jews, every one of them, the first Christians. What does the name Christian mean? Well, just like Israel, Christianity have different meanings that I've come across. One is follower of Christ, disciples of Christ, Christ-like people, or little anointed ones. They were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And when he, Barnabas, had found him, talking about Paul, Barnabas was looking for Paul, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, why were they called Christians in Antioch? Well, because they were doing the works of the very Christ that they were preaching about. So they were called little Christians, or anointed ones, because they preached and did the same works. So they were called Christians in Antioch. And then, of course, from there it spread. So what do Jews believe when it comes to Jesus? Well, here's how that goes. Jews believe Jesus did not fulfill the messianic prophecies that established the criteria for the coming of the Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. Judaism does not accept Jesus as a divine being, an intermediary between humans and God, a Messiah. They don't accept him as the Messiah or even as being holy. They know that he came 2,000 years ago, but he didn't fulfill the prophecies pertaining to the Messiah. This is what they believe. But even though they believe that, but their very own scriptures, the scriptures in their own Tanakh or Torah, confirms that Jesus fulfilled over 324 prophecies concerning the Messiah. Just to name a few, and I'm only just going to name very few, just to name a few, he fulfilled these entire scriptures, and a lot of it before he was born. Isaiah 53, verse 5, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." You see, Jesus was a child growing up as a young Jew. He was a tender plant. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus looked plain. He was a plain-looking person who took on the image of a Jew. You know, remember now, he's God in the flesh, but he took on the image of a Jew because of the promise that God gave to Abraham. We'll get to all of that, okay? "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." You see, he truly came to his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. "Surely he hath borne our grief." Continuing with this, with the prophecy, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions." Who could they possibly be talking about? Who else would be wounded for our transgressions? "He was bruised for our iniquities," our inward sins, iniquities. "He was crucified us." They're talking about Jesus. This entire scripture is talking about Jesus. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Who else could they be talking about? They said the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus was like the scapegoat. You see, the priests or the elders of Israel, the priests actually would lay their hands on the scapegoat, on a goat, and they called him the scapegoat because they placed all the sins of the people upon the goat. And then they released the goat outside the gate, had the goat to run out with the sins of the people upon the goat. Jesus was our scapegoat because he was crucified outside the gate or outside the camp. He was crucified out. All our sins was upon him, so he was a scapegoat. "And with his stripes we are healed." We are healed because of his suffering, his death, and resurrection. And the scripture goes on to say, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We, God's people, are doing our own thing even today." And I'm talking about Jews and Christians. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." All of our sins were placed upon him. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He said not a word, and that scripture was fulfilled, that this very scripture was fulfilled in Matthew 27, verse 12 and 13. And when he was accused of the chief priest, talking about Jesus now, when Jesus was accused, this is that scripture being fulfilled that I just read. When Jesus was accused of the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against you? He was like, can't you hear the things that they're saying against you? This is what Pilate was asking Jesus. And Jesus answered him not a word. Jesus didn't say a word to him. And it was in so much that the governor marveled greatly. Pilate marveled greatly that Jesus wouldn't even open his mouth to defend himself. He was literally like a lamb to the slaughter. This was also fulfilled in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord. This is another scripture that was fulfilled in Jeremiah concerning Jesus, okay? Thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Her children were being killed. This was fulfilled while Jesus was a toddler. When Herod had all the baby boys from 2 years old and under killed because he was looking to destroy the Messiah. This was Satan working through Herod to kill the Messiah. There was much weeping over their children. All the Israelite women were weeping over their children. This was also written in Scripture. This particular Scripture was also written and fulfilled. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you, out of Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old. From everlasting. This was God's will from everlasting to everlasting. This scripture was fulfilled because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and he is ruler and King of kings. Another scripture that confirms Jesus Christ is Psalms 78, verse 2. It is written, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And it was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret, foundation of the world. Let me go on. Psalm 107, this also was prophesied, verses 28 and 29. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm. He calms a storm, in other words, so that the waves thereof are still. And that was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 through 27. And behold, there arose a tempest in the sea, a storm, in other words, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. He rebuked it. That means he corrected the winds and the sea. The winds and the sea was out of order. So God corrected it. Jesus corrected the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, not just a calm, but a great calm to the place that it was peaceful. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Didn't you marvel? I know I would. Another one is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this scripture was fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, meaning Savior. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Remember, the scripture said a son is given. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise the Lord. Woo! I can go on and on how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah. Jews know the scriptures. They know it, and they know that Jesus came and did all these things, but still they don't believe. They don't believe. I could go on and on. I could go on to even tell you the types and shadows of Jesus Christ in scriptures and how the lives of the very patriarchs in the Bible paints a picture of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. The very patriarchs in the Bible that we read about, their very lives actually was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. All in the scriptures, every book in the Bible of Jesus Christ, every book in some way speaks of Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example of how the very patriarchs was a type. Their very lives was prophetic. They were a type of Jesus Christ. Like, for example, Isaac. Isaac was the promised seed. And Jesus was the promised seed for the world. Jacob, who had 12 sons that started the nation of Israel. Jesus chose 12 men and started the nation of Christianity. Yes, Christians, we are a nation. Moses, the lawgiver, was a mediator between God and the children of Israel. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and all mankind. Moses gave the people the law. Jesus gave the word of God. Jesus gave faith, the word of God. Moses and Jesus had a lot in common. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 days, and Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Moses was almost killed by Pharaoh when he was a baby. Jesus was almost killed by Herod when he was a baby. There's a lot more we could say about Moses being a type of Jesus. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua brought the children of Israel out of the promised land. And Jesus is bringing us into the promised land. And the promised land today is the kingdom of God on earth. Samson is another one who was anointed having 7 locks of hair on his head. 7 is the number of perfection. He had 7 locks of hair on his head, which was prophetic for the sevenfold anointing that was to come upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus received that sevenfold anointing. Jesus was anointed with the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire. Samson was a type of Jesus. Now, in that he was powerful, had a heavy anointing upon it. David, the one who killed Goliath, and Goliath being a type of Satan, well, we have Jesus, the one who will destroy Satan once and for all. Jesus defeated him already, but Jesus is going to destroy Satan once and for all. David was the king who brought Judah and Israel together so that David would be king over all Israel. Well, Jesus is bringing Jews and Gentiles together so that he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Elijah, the one who went up into heaven, right in the presence of his servant Elisha. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus went up into heaven in the presence of his servants. This was like 500 people that saw him go up. And before he went up, he gave them a command to go into the city of Jerusalem and be endued with power from on high. But out of the 500, only 120 went. And guess what? They were endued with power from on high. Now, I could go on and on because there are many more types and shadows of Jesus in Scripture. So I could continue to go on and on. Many things that the Jews did pointed to Jesus Christ, like the seven feast days. They all pointed to Jesus Christ, and he fulfilled four of those feast days during his ministry. The other three will be fulfilled at his return. These feast days were not really referred to as Feast of Israel, but were actually divine appointed times with the Lord. And they were not only historical in Israel's history, but they were all prophetic and spoke of the redemptive work through Yeshua Jesus. Here are the four feasts that Jesus fulfilled. Passover, a one-night observance occurring the night of Yeshua's crucifixion, to remember the night the Israelites congregated in their homes with the blood of the Lamb on their post. This was prophetic for the death of Jesus Christ. The blood of Yeshua Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, being on the doorpost of our hearts. It represents the time that the angel of death will pass over God's people and will pass from death to life, even as we live. This is what it means. Having the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of your heart means that the angel of life will pass over you. The angel of death will pass over you. And you will pass from death to life, even as we live. Many, even as we live. Some will be resurrected, but some will live and be changed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Unleavened bread speaks of the burial of Jesus Christ. The unleavened bread pointed to the Messiah's sinless life. That's why with unleavened bread, making him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus lived a sinless life. He had to in order to become the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus' body was in the grave during the first days of this feast, like a kernel of wheat planted and waiting to burst forth as the bread of life. First fruits. The first fruits is an offering to God from a heart of sacrifice and gratitude. We give the best of our labor and the first of all that God has provided for us. Just as God gave to us Jesus Christ, his first fruit to all humanity. God the Father gave his Son, Jesus Christ, as his first fruit for all humanity. And then Jesus gives us believers. Jesus, the Son of God, gives us believers and followers of Jesus Christ to the Father, because we are his first fruits to God. Now, for the true believers of Christ, we are to give to the Lord our first fruits. We are to give to the Lord our first fruits of all that God has blessed us with, be it our finances, our crops, if we are farmers, our food for the poor, our time and labor, and even to provide clothing. But most of all, we give our hearts first to God and then to others, as it is written in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus answered him. He answered a man that asked the question, which of all the commandments is the most important? And the Lord answered him and said, first of all, the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This is your first fruits unto the Lord. Your hearts is your first fruit. The feast of first fruits is prophetic for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pentecost or Shabbat. Although Pentecost took place 50 days after the feast of first fruits, to the Jews it is a time of the grand celebration at the end of the grain harvest. It was called the Feast of Weeks. In the Greek, it's called Pentecost, because Pentecost means 50. So 50 days after Jesus went up into heaven, it landed on Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. It was on the day of Pentecost. Christians recognize the day of Pentecost as the day that Jesus poured out his spirit upon his people. It was the beginning of the prophecy of Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This day of Pentecost marked the beginning or the birth of the Christian church. There was a long interval between this feast and the next are the last three feasts. And the last three feasts are Feast of Trumpets, which is prophetic for the gathering of God's people. God's true believers will be blowing the trumpet of the Lord, preaching and lifting up a prophetic voice to gather God's people together, both Jew and Christian, to enter into his kingdom. It is the call that's going out into all the world. Remember, Jesus is sending his people out into all the world. The next feast day is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. This day was the only day that required fasting, and they were to afflict their souls. And when the high priest sprinkled the blood of a lamb on the mercy seat, the sins of Israel were covered for another year. But this day truly, truly points to the atoning work of Jesus Christ, having died for the sins of all mankind. This is the day that the Jews will see that Jesus Christ is truly the Messiah, and they will weep and mourn when they realize that they truly pierced the Son of the living God. Feast of Tabernacles is the next one, Sukkot. This is the last of the Lord's feast. It speaks of the ingathering of the harvest at the end of the year. It was a season of great joy and rejoicing over God's great abundance. This speaks of when Jesus will return to set up his kingdom on earth. It will be a time of happiness and joy, of great rejoicing, worshiping, and praise, a day of love, peace, renewal, refreshing, and life, a time when we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We will be in our very own celestial bodies or our new tabernacles. God never wanted, understand this, God never wanted two groups of people, Jews and Christians. Christians are considered Gentiles to the Jews, and some Christians consider themselves Gentiles. God always wanted one people united in him. He always wanted that. We are the ones that keep separating it. And the things that I'm teaching you today, it is not what they call the replacement theory. This is not a replacement theory. Christians is a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. This is a oneness theory, if you want to call it a theory, but it is a oneness teaching of God. This is what God desires, oneness with his people. He always wanted one people united in him. God told Abram that his name will no longer be Abram, which means a father of a nation, you know, Israel, physical Israel. But his name shall be called Abraham, which means a father of many nations. That includes the Gentiles, other nations. And that could only be done through Jesus Christ, the real promised seed given to Abraham, and that seed was God himself. God's desire is for Jew and Gentiles to become one in Christ Jesus, that they may be true believers, followers, and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they together can be brothers and sisters and experience the oneness of Christ and be changed into his glorified image. Having the glorious resurrected celestial bodies forever, having our resurrected bodies forever, life everlasting in the presence of the living God. Man, doesn't that want you to just straight out rejoice? Doesn't that make you happy? Praise the Lord. Man, I hope that you got a good understanding of the teachings today, that there is a difference in the beliefs of the Jew and the Christians, and many of their beliefs is because of a lack of understanding of the scriptures, even the Old Testament. If the Jews really studied the Old Testament like they claim that they do, and then studied the New Testament, they will see how Jesus fulfilled every single thing. Everything that was prophesied and the things that he haven't fulfilled are the things that he's going to fulfill at his return. You see, the Jews believe in Yeshua, but they believe that he never came, but that he's coming. That he's coming, you know, like on a white horse to fight their battles and all of that kind of stuff. They believe that he's coming. We believe that he came and that he's returning as the great judge and the great king. But the thing is that when he comes, let's just pray that Israel will see and will know that this Jesus that the Christians were preaching about was real. It's really him. He did come and he has returned, and that they will receive him. Let them receive him. And as many Christians that can go out into the world, even going over to Israel, let your light shine and minister. Let the Holy Spirit move you. We might win a many Jews to the Lord just by us being bold enough to preach his word and allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And that's what it's about. And not just in Israel, but wherever you are, in your neighborhood, wherever you live, preach the word. Be a light to the people and show them who Jesus Christ really, truly is. Be a blessing to them. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. And remember that I'm here next week, same time. So be sure to dial in or listen from your computer. Okay? God bless you all. And we will see you again next week on UCA Radio.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies.
God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you all next week by God's grace. Be a blessing to somebody. Bye-bye.